This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Coming up on Candid Conversations, a lot of you have asked Joyce to talk about this topic, and here it is, forgiveness.
I don't think a person can forgive unless they really, really want to do what God wants them to do.
But first, Joyce teaches on embracing every season of your life. Next, on Enjoying Everyday Life.
Every season of our life is part of the whole, and it should be embraced. Yes, even the painful seasons. The more we resist, the more it's going to hurt, and the longer it's going to take. All you have to do is think about, well, I'll put it like this. I watch a show about an emergency team, medical team, EMTs that go out and they tend to all these accident victims and stuff. And I was just thinking when I was studying for this, one of the first things they tell every victim is now take slow, deep breaths. Relax. What do they tell a woman when she's in labor? Now breathe. Relax. You know why? Because the more you fight against any kind of emotional pain or physical pain or whatever it is, the more it hurts. And yeah, I know some people think, well, surely, you know, what's going on in my life is just demonic, and surely you cannot expect me to embrace that. I'm not telling you that you have to love the thing. But we do need to learn the secret that God has a purpose in everything He permits in our lives. And even though we may never understand it, we can trust God that His word is true. And He always, here comes another secret, always works everything out for our good to those who love Him and want His will. Always, 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 always. My gosh, I look back at my childhood and the stuff that I went through and all the problems that caused in my life. And for so many years, I wish that wouldn't have happened, and I hated what happened to me, and I hated the people that did it to me. All it was doing was just ruining my life. And somewhere along the way, I came to the point where I thought, and you know, I guess maybe it sounds goofy, I don't know, but I can't even really say now that I'm sorry it all happened. You know why? Because that is what made me who I am today. Actually, come on, how many of you, it was your problems that drove you to a relationship with Jesus? Man, then you need to thank God for those problems. Because the thing that you thought was your greatest enemy became your greatest friend. Amen? And so we just need to trust God in things and let Him get us to the point where we have a great testimony that can encourage somebody else in the stuff that they're going through in life. If we continue trusting God, He works everything out for our good. Everything that happens in our life is part of making us who we are. Now, when bad things happen, you have three choices. You can let it destroy you. You can let it make you bitter, or you can let it make you stronger. Amen. I'm a pretty tough old gal because I decided I wasn't going under, I was going over. I decided I was going to survive, and that even though I didn't get a good start in life, I was fully intending to have a good finish. Amen. And I hope somebody here tonight gets a little tenacity and says, I'm not going to just whine about my problems the rest of my life. I'm not going to spend all of my now life resenting what somebody did to me way back here. I'm going to put that in God's hands. I'm going to get on with what God has for me. I'm going to get well, and I'm going to love every moment of my life. Now, Joseph has got to be probably one of the best examples in the Bible. of just having so many unfair things happen. And if the guy had a bad attitude, there's no record of it in the Word. And God usually tells us things that are important, so I have to assume that he must have not had a bad attitude. Joseph was daddy's favorite. He was the youngest and daddy's favorite. Brothers were jealous. That's not uncommon. Many times older siblings get jealous of the baby because the baby usually gets babied. And a lot of times the older kids had to do a lot of things that the younger ones don't have to do because mom and dad didn't have as much when they were growing up. And now they've got more, and so they can baby the baby. I know because I went through all that. I have a child that's 10 years younger than the other three. And yes, he's the baby. And now the three others, if they want something special, they'll send him to get it because they know that they call him the platinum child. And so Joseph was daddy's favorite. He was the baby and he was daddy's favorite. Well, the older boys were jealous, very jealous. And so they took him out one day, said they were going hunting, and instead they dug a pit and threw him in it, intending to tell the father that he'd been killed, which they did, by a wild animal. So some slave traders came along and they sold him, and then he ended up being sold to a man named Potiphar, who was a political man that had, you know, a position of authority. Well, Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph, and she wanted him to have sex with her, and he maintained his integrity and refused to do it. You know, nothing is more annoying than when you make a right decision and you get a wrong result. Don't you just hate it when you do what's right and the people who are doing what's wrong seem to be the ones that are getting blessed? That's probably one of the hardest things to endure. And I know there's people here tonight and people over in the overflow rooms, you're going through some stuff. And you've been through some stuff. And don't stone me when I say this, you may still yet go through some stuff. And so whether you need what I'm saying tonight, whether you needed it yesterday, or whether you're going to need it next month, this is one of the most important things that you can hear, because if we don't learn how to be stable and content, and I don't have to like what's going on, but I can still enjoy my life while it's going on. I did not like the way I felt those 7 weeks, but I have to look back and say I still enjoyed my life. I mean, it wasn't as much fun as if I would have felt good, but I still enjoyed my life, because really a lot of enjoying life is just the attitude that you decide to take toward it. And that staying hopeful, God's going to work this out. He's going to work it out for good. He's going to use it in my life. This too will pass. He's not going to put more on me than what I can bear. Tomorrow I'm going to feel better. All that keeps you motivated to not quit and not give up. So he got put in prison for, I think, something like 13 years for something he didn't do. While he was in there, he helped a couple of other guys, asked them not to forget him when they got out, which they promptly went out and forgot all about him. Have you ever helped somebody and then when you needed help, they forgot all about you? These are real life things. Well, then the king had a dream that was disturbing him. And somebody remembered that Joseph had an ability, a gift from God to interpret dreams. So the king called for Joseph to come. He was able to interpret the king's dream. And as a result of that, he got promoted and put into a position where during a 7-year famine, he was in charge of all the food that existed. So you might be in a position right now that you don't like, but maybe God's getting you in a position to help somebody that you don't even know yet.
Joyce, thanks for sitting down with us for a candid conversation
today. I'm glad I'm sitting down.
We want to talk about a hard one today, and that is forgiveness. Now, you've taught on forgiveness a lot, and we've learned so much about it. But I think of friends and different situations who have just been hurt so badly, have lost a child to an unnecessarily tragic accident, or what you went through, of course, talking so much about your father. And when there's that type of scar tissue on your heart from a wound like that, sometimes even that first thought of forgiveness is almost like, no, you know, yeah. I can't even go there.
It's like it's not even reasonable to ask me to do that.
Right. How can God even want that for me? And yet we know that that is such an important step of healing. So we have a lot of people who are asking.
Yeah, you said that.
How do I even begin?
That a lot of people had questions about this.
Exactly.
Again.
When we asked people if they could sit down with you and have a chat, this was one of the main topics that came up. They would like to talk to you about how can they forgive.
I recommend that people look up all the scriptures in the Bible about it, because the Word of God has power in it. And when you look at the scriptures, I still, like if I'm having an issue with something, let's just say that I'm, for some reason, I get jealous of somebody. You know, I won't just think, oh, I shouldn't be jealous. Mm-hmm. If I'm not getting rid of it, I'll look up scriptures.
Right.
Because there's power in the Word. That's why it's important for people to go to the Word and to study the Word on a regular basis.
I love that, because it's deeper than this is where you find answers.
Right.
You'll find the answers, but in that, there's power to help you actually do it.
Yeah, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and alive, and mm-hmm. the Amplified Bible says it's operative. And I always say the Word will operate on you. God will, you know, use it to cut things out of you that don't belong, and to, at the same time, heal you of old wounds and things that need to be healed in your life. And so I don't think a person can forgive unless they really, really want to do what God wants them to do. And
now what you said there is different than wanting to forgive.
Right.
They have to want what God wants them to do.
Right. Because you may not want to forgive, but you want to please God. You want to do what He asked you to do. You want to be obedient to Him. And so if He says He wants you to forgive, then that's the end of it, one way or the other. With God's help, I'm going to learn how to do it, because I've already set myself to be obedient to God.
Yeah.
And when you forgive somebody that's treated you unjustly, I don't know that it's ever going to be fair in the way we look at fair. But if you want to go there, I mean, what Jesus did for us certainly wasn't fair.
That's a really good point.
To Him.
Yeah.
And so if people will think about that, that will help them. John 10:10 says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came. And just those two words, I came. It amazes me that He came down here. I mean, there's no real correlation we can make that even makes any sense. It would be like me giving my life for an ant. You know, it's like he didn't have to do this.
Right.
I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if You can, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, Your will be done and not Mine. And actually, He didn't just take our sin. He became sin. He that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So what was it like for this Holy One to actually become sin? I heard someone say a few days ago that He absorbed our sin, and I thought that's a great way to put it. So in the Old Testament, sin could be covered by sacrifices, but under the New Covenant, it's completely removed, and the Bible says that God moves it as far as the east is from the west, remembers it no more. He never mentions it to you or brings it up. So first thing that helps me is to really think. You know, sometimes people need to take the time to just sit and do some contemplative thinking, to just think about, okay, God is not asking me to do something that He hasn't done. You know, He forgives me. Mm-hmm. So is what that person did to me any worse than what I do to God? You know, so.
Now, let me just be kind of the other side of this and say, well, I've never done some of these things. You know, I've never killed anyone or physically abused anyone. So some people would say, yes, there is a difference between what I've done. And yet God is taking all of that sin.
Yeah.
You know, God took the weight of the entire world, past, present, and future sin.
Right.
And you think about what that would feel like. You know, there's no way for us to understand that. But to take that step that you're saying of how vast that is and how there is no fairness in any of that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it applies to me at all, whatever I've done, is overwhelming.
Is sin.
Exactly.
There's not big, little, small,
right,
large. Now, there are sins that will have greater repercussions,
yeah,
you know, than other sins. But sin is still sin.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about that we sin in thought, word, and deed. Mm-hmm. So, like,
yeah,
for example,
those thought sins.
Yeah, in Matthew, when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, that if the Old Testament says if you commit adultery, but he said, I say if you think about,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
that is no different to doing it. So is there any human on the earth that can say they've never sinned in thought?
Hmm.
No. Jealousy is a sin. Lying is a sin. You know, so sin is just sin.
Yeah.
And there's, we all sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all are justified and made right through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all sinned and we can all be forgiven.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I have to first look at that.
Yeah.
I have to want to obey God. And then I look at that. I look at the word. And then I make a decision that even though it's not fair, and even though it may seem unreasonable, that God's not asking me to do anything that he has not done himself. And forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation of the relationship. I think a lot of people think, well, if I forgive, then I have to take that person back into my life. God's not asking you to bring somebody back into your life that was abusive to you, or that's just going to continue to talk down to you, or, you know, verbally abuse you on a regular basis. That's not what he's asking you to do. But he's asking you to maybe understand that hurting people hurt people.
Mm.
That was very helpful to me with my dad, because he wasn't raised properly either. And there was incest in his family bloodline. And so I don't know what all he saw or what all he experienced. And it's not my job to know. It's not my place to know. I'm not.
That's a big statement.
Yeah,
there.
We're not God.
Yeah.
You know, and God is asking me to forgive, and I don't really need to even know why that's the way he wants it done. But I don't want people to go to hell. I didn't want my dad to go to hell. I wanted him to be forgiven. And through loving him, learning how to love somebody who really didn't deserve love, mm-hmm, he did eventually see the goodness of God and receive Christ and is in heaven now. And that's much better than hating him my whole life and, you know, actually lowering myself to the same position that he was in. And not only that, if people could just get this, when you forgive, you're not really doing the other person a favor. That's the thing people have to understand. It's like, well, they don't deserve that, and I'm not going to do that for them, and that's not right. You're not doing it for them anyway. You're actually doing it for yourself. When God tells you to forgive, he's telling you something that's going to help you, because there's nothing worse than carrying that bitterness and resentment and hatred around on the inside of you day after day and year after year, when you can let go of that and put the person in God's hands and pray for them that they will come to know Christ as their Savior and be blessed. I think another thing that really helps in the area of forgiveness is to stop talking to other people about what so-and-so did to you. Because the more we talk about it, it's like picking a scab off of a wound, and we just keep making, I mean, if you have a wound and you get a scab and you pick it off, you're actually just going to make the scar bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the thing to do is to forgive as quickly as you possibly can, because the quicker you do it, the easier it's going to be to do it. And then I also believe that if you pray for people that have hurt you, it is very difficult to pray for somebody and hate them at the same time. Now, I know it's not easy, but when we get around to, but it's so hard, we're talking about our feelings, not our decisions. Mm-hmm. And you can forgive people and be around them and not feel any different. You know, my mother asked me one time, how did I feel about her? Because she knew my dad was sexually abusing me and she didn't do anything about it. And I was honest with her. I said, you know, I can't love you like I would love a mother who protected me and took care of me. But I said, you are God's child and he sent Jesus to die for you. And I love you because I love him. And I will always make sure that you're taken care of because I feel that's what God would have me do. So I never had any, I can't really say that, I mean, I went to the nursing home at least every other week to see my mom. I paid the bills there for many years, made sure she had clothes, made sure she went to the doctor. I made sure she was taken care of. And I did that because of my love for God, not because of a gooey feeling I had about her.
Right.
And I can't really say that there was ever a time when I went to visit that I was like, oh boy, today I get to go visit my mom, because she never really was my mom. I didn't have bad feelings toward her, but I didn't have loving feelings toward her
right. Either.
So people, I think, get mixed up maybe about how they're supposed to feel if they forgive somebody, and it's
and almost like, how will I live without this anger and hatred?
Yeah,
because those, like, feelings are so strong,
right? And it's just not fair. And
yeah,
you know, when are they going to get theirs? And there's no telling how many people today, Ginger, that are watching us that are angry at people for minor offenses. Today, people get offended so easy, and they're so touchy, and then there's horrible things that have happened to people that they've managed to work through and forgive people for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a matter of desire. I mean, if you really want to do what God wants you to do, you will find a way to do it.
Yeah. And like you were saying, the difference that it makes in your life is so much greater than anything you can imagine. The reasoning behind, there's not only a how to make it happen, that God walks us through it and makes it possible, but the reason that he asks us to do something so hard is out of his great love for us,
right?
Knowing what is best for us, even in the most terrible situations.
We have to be careful about our thinking. You know, I could think, well, you know, that's not right. My dad's in heaven and he was mean all of his life, and he ruined so many lives. So many lives that, I mean, my brother ended up taking his own life, and that was partially because of the way my dad raised him. And my mother's life was destroyed. Part of that was her own fault because she wouldn't get away from him, but he did so many bad things, and yet he's in heaven, same place that I'll go after preaching for 45 or 50 years. But I'm not God. It's really none of my business. You know, there's a story in the Bible about laborers that were hired, some early in the morning, and they worked all day. Some were hired at the 11th hour, and they only worked 1 hour, and they got the same pay as the one who worked all day, and they thought that was unfair. And the master said, am I not able, can I not be good to who I want to be good to? And so God is good, and it's his business if that's what he wants to do. I think sometimes we have a few too many questions that we don't need to be asking, and we need to realize how powerful God is and have a little bit more of that reverential fear and awe and just be glad that he is good and that he forgives us for our sins.
Well, I think there's such a foundation in you sharing the story because you've lived it mm-hmm. from both sides. So I do really appreciate having this conversation with you because you're a person who understands how hard it is and the incredible difference that it makes.
And you know,
makes.
Ginger, every once in a while I'll think about something my dad did to me, and you know how our mind likes to drift off, and I'll just think how much I hated him. Mm. Oh my gosh, I mean, I hated him so bad. And to think that God is able to lift that out of us and take it away so I don't have to have that horrible feeling on the inside. I mean, for God to be able to give somebody the grace to love somebody that's done that to them, how amazing.
It's a miracle.
How amazing that is.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people watching that you need to forgive somebody, and you may be thinking, well, I just can't. Well, that's your first mistake. You don't ever want to think that you can't do something that God has told you to do, because God will never tell us to do anything that's impossible. Mm-hmm. It may be impossible with man, but it is possible with God.
The Sweet Life doesn't stop at 16. Do now what you'll be happy with later. Old is a mindset you never have to accept.
I wish that someone would have told me when I was 20 or 30 the things that I'm trying to tell you in this book. Let me help you age without getting old.
Today, we're offering Joyce's newest book, How to Age Without Getting Old, for your donation of any amount. Order online at joycemeyer.org or call us at 1-800-727-9673.
Next week, May 17th through the 21st, Joyce will be teaching on the Beatitudes.
You see, one thing that we always have is hope. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power. God looks favorably on people who want to do the right thing. Today we're going to talk about the peacemakers. I love that.
A full week of teaching on the Beatitudes, May 17th through the 21st, on Enjoying Everyday Life.
Watch episodes of Enjoying Everyday Life. Read daily devotionals. Follow a Bible study plan. Here, 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 and here. The same great teaching from Joyce that you know and love, now in the palm of your hand. With the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Think of it as your daily dose of encouragement. Right here, right now. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app today.
I love that magazine she sends out.
There's something in there for everybody.
The Enjoying Everyday Life magazine is free. Subscribe at joycemeyer.org to read encouraging articles from Joyce and much more.
Reading through the magazine confirms for me God's at work.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.